Well, good morning. As Tom mentioned a bit ago about registering for voting, I think that's for Ohio, right? I think Michigan, if you live in Michigan, the great state of Michigan, of Michigan. Now that I've got you uncomfortable, actually, you can register all the way up, I think, until October 19th. But more importantly, as we do register, I encourage you to vote. But please be praying for this time in our nation. We're living in some times that have great opportunity. We're living in time that darkness is there and God wants to shine his light. And we are children of the light. And as we pray and cry out to the Lord, I believe he wants to use each and every one of us. Not that we can draw allegiance to any political line, but we can draw allegiance to Jesus Christ because it is his life in us is what matters. So we do have responsibilities. One of the responsibilities, I believe, before the Lord is to go out and vote. And we need to seek his face in doing so. Let me just briefly make a comment about COVID-19. I'm coming in contact with a lot of people who have come down with it. When I say come in contact, I don't see them every day. That's not the contact, because that could provide hysteria right now. But I know people, my son, my daughter-in-law, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my nieces, a lot of people are coming down with it. And it is different for everyone. It's not all the same. And we need to be praying for one another in this area. It will be of God's mercies if every one of us don't come down with it. You say, well, you're making it sound like every one of us is going to come. No, I'm not saying that. It would be God's mercy that we don't. It would be his kindness. It would be his goodness. And it's real. And it is affecting people's lives physically. And so, as I mentioned, we need to be praying for them. We need to lift them up before the Lord. And they may have some needs down the road. And we need to just ask the Lord what he might ask of us as a body to love on them. So I want to give a shout out to those who are at home again this morning. I just want to let you know you're missed. We love you. We hug you. Virtual hug. We're so grateful for you. I'm grateful for technology. I'm grateful for Jason and the LaPoints, everyone who sits back there. I appreciate them so much. They're gifts to us. They allow us to fix these noises, you know. They immediately as that goes, spikes high, and I told Chris, it's not me, you know. And I just appreciate all that they can do and the gifts that they have, and they're a gift to us. This morning, as we sang the first song, my heart was brought to a psalm, Psalm 85, and it was the song that we sang this morning, Revive Us Again. Do you know your relationship with the Lord Jesus and our Father in heaven that is of such that when we see words on the board, he really wants to use those words to minister to us? He just doesn't want blank words being breathed out of our mouth with not any meaning or any heart behind it. He has changed us for a purpose. He has changed us with a goal in mind that we would take great joy in our salvation, but also be sensitive to his Spirit to speak to us. It's the Holy Spirit that's in us, that dwells within us. It's a gift that he's given to us, and he wants to change us. He wants to conform us to the image of God, and everything is for a purpose in our lives. Unfortunately, I've been guilty and have been guilty and will be guilty in the future of be sitting in a pew and we'll sing something that means nothing to me because I'm out daydreaming somewhere else. I like to, as I sing to the Lord, I can't sing very well, but I like to sing loud. And if you're sitting next to me and you hear me singing, I'm sorry. I just want you to know that. But I love to sing with the top of my voice. Why? I'm singing to the Lord. If you're going to sing to men, you need to know how to sing, men and women. But if you sing to the Lord, it doesn't matter. The old pastor I sat under, he said he could never even carry a tune in a bucket. I understand what he says. But my heart was stirred to Psalm 85 this morning. And it says in verse 6, and I'm going to read a couple of verses because it stems to what the message is about this morning. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. This morning, does your heart need to be revived? As I confessed my sin some time ago about having left my first love in Jesus Christ, I was the one who left. I was the one who turned away. I was the one who sought after this life, this flesh, my own desires. And God brought conviction upon my heart and my soul that I would return to my first love. To go back to that very moment when Jesus saved me. Gloriously saved me and changed me. And I had such a fervent and love for Jesus. And you can say, well, John, I got saved when I was 3 years old or 4 years old. And you know what? God still wants to take you back to that moment. He wants us to have that love, the joy that we once walked in with Jesus. We can't conjure it up in ourselves. We have to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, for the last 6 weeks or so, I've been meditating, studying, looking forward to this message. God gives us spiritual gifts. The message that I thought I was going to be sharing this morning is not going to be the one I'm going to be sharing. Hopefully, if the Lord will tarry and he allows me to stay alive, I will share that message next week. However, we're going to stay on the focus of spiritual gifts. What I was convicted about as I was studying for this message, within the last 2 days, I was presented with some scriptures, and I just was pondering on the scriptures, meditating, pondering, thinking yesterday, having conversations with different individual, and then reading again last night, and I just praying, and I crying out to the Lord, and I said, surely, Lord, you don't want to do this. And then I woke up this morning. I didn't sleep very well last night. I just troubled in my spirit, because sometimes I have my agenda, and sometimes I sense I know what God wants us to do. And then there's times where God just says, I want you to go this way. And so what I'm going to share this morning is from the Lord, I believe, for me, but also for all of us. And what's fascinating is the very word gift or gifts is what's turned the focus on my own heart. And so I am, just to speak briefly, to kind of give you a little bit of a thirst for next week's message, I enjoy spiritual gifts. I enjoy looking at the scriptures and how he has given people gifts. As I mentioned in my message before, I believe a lot of my talents and uniqueness and abilities has been gifts to me from the Lord, and he's given it to me as I have learned them. I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the things that I do. We all don't think the same way. We all don't walk the same way. We all don't have everything. We're all not the same. We'll never be, in some sense, perfectly the same. However, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and our eyes have got to be fixed on him. And as our eyes are fixed on him, Jesus, it is him who is the greatest gift we've ever been given in this life. And the conviction that has come to me from the Lord is I'm looking at these gifts out of Romans chapter 12. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 and even the whole love aspect of who God is. My perspective on gifts has changed a little bit. Not in a sense from looking at the scriptures, but I got so much excitement about studying over the last 6 weeks. And I remember when God showed me my motivational gift years ago, the joy that welled up in my soul. And then he showed me so much more of myself over time, who I was in Jesus, that I truly was accepted in the Beloved. That I wasn't some worthless, stupid individual that I had been communicated by other individuals as I was being raised, as I was growing up from school. I was the type of individual who was picked on. And you say, your size, why would you even say that? But up until about eighth grade, I was picked on. I had a low self-esteem. I hated myself. You've heard my testimony of my brothers and my sisters and my family, how I hated my family, all those kind of, I'm not going to repeat that. But what I did was I got involved in sports, and I found my identity in sports. And that changed me a little bit. Changed me in a sense of my arrogance and my pride and thinking I was the greatest thing since sliced bread. That I was every French fry in that holder. You know the comment, you know, he's missing, you know, he's a happy meal with a couple of French fries missing. So there was a lostness through all that. And when I came and was confronted with my sin before, seeing Jesus Christ in his holiness, in his perfectness, in his righteousness, in his death on the cross and burial and resurrection for my life, it was at that time I knew I was a poor and wretched sinner and I needed a Savior. I still struggle with feeling inadequate. I still struggle with pride. I still struggle with arrogance. I still struggle with self, and I will till I die because I'm in this carcass. But I have the wonderful, perfect person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me wanting to change me. That's awesome. And so in James, Dick quoted this in our prayer time this morning. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. This is ESV. And then at verse 18 says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. Do you know that it was the word of God that I was saved by? And it was the person of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, who saved me. And as it's the Word of God that's communicated to us and comes and lives within us by the Spirit of God, and it says, continuing on in verse 18, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. In other words, we should be like the Lord. And we're his fruits, his first fruits, his work and his doing. So hopefully next week, should the Lord allow, We'll go over Romans chapter 8 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You've been given gifts. And what I've been convicted by is that I wanted to focus so much on these gifts, these motivational ministry and the manifestation of the spiritual gifts or the fruit of the Spirit that comes from our lives, that God says, you're missing a point here. And so I would like to share with you as we read through the scriptures what that point is. So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Romans chapter 11. And we're going to read chapter 12, 1 through 8, but we're going to not comment too much on those. So Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 11. If you've not, and I invite you to come out, and as my invitation is going out, the invitation is in to encourage you on Saturday mornings every other week. The men have been going through the book of Romans. Tom and Dick have been leading that group, and I confess I've not been able to attend one of them, but the testimony of people that I've talked to who have been attending has been life-changing for them. I encourage you to do that. The whole book of Romans is rich with truths I try to have a glimpse of Paul as he writes the letters. I got a glimpse of Paul this morning as I was rereading this with excitement and joy. Sometimes I wonder if I was to write something with excitement and joy, it would be hen scratch. Because I can't contain myself at times. Are you ever like that? So I come in, let me give you an example, okay? I come in this morning and I have to take my coat off, and Jason has got to give me the microphone, okay? And he says, here, I have to tape this to you. I said, what? You know, he said, you're the only one I have to tape it to. You know, I could feel inferior about that, you know? But part of that is I just shake and jerk and jump and do all that kind of stuff that rattles us loose, and then people at home can't hear me. And so there's excitement that wells up in my soul of what God wants to do in my life and change me, how he has changed me. And I see that sometimes in Paul's writings. And all of a sudden he just gets excited and he gives something. And he does here in Romans chapter 11. So let's read this. Actually, before we read, let's pray. Lord, I am so grateful for how you lead us. And thank you for allowing us to remember, as Richard led us in remembrance this morning, of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. That night, how he just instituted and communicated his love for the disciples as well as love for us today. We are so grateful for the body that was broken for us, and we're grateful for the blood that was shed for us that covers us, that cleanses us. And Lord, this morning, would you give us a deeper love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you help us to see the greatest gift that we have is Jesus himself? From there, Lord, we want to grow. We want to learn. We want to hear and heed the voice that Jesus said, come learn of me. Lord, we need your help to do that. Would you do that this morning? But more importantly, Lord, should there be somebody this morning who in some sense has left their first love, would you restore that to them? Would you just kindly, by the Holy Spirit, speak, bring forth repentance to them so that they could return to their first love. And Lord, for all of us, please revive us again. Please, Lord, do a work in us. Have mercy on us. Lead us and guide us. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. So I ask, Paul says, did they, speaking of Israel, and if you read previously in that, and I'm trying to save on time here, Israel has, the Gentiles are being grafted in, and Israel, because of their stubbornness and their hard-heartedness and their unbelief, God is allowing judgment to take place. So Paul says, so I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now, if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles, and that's us, unless you're an Israelite, unless you're a Jew, I'm a Gentile. Inasmuch that I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, and I'm grateful God sent, I'm glad that he didn't just stay focused on the Jews. I'm grateful for that. Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means reconciliation to the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches were broken off and you, he's pointing the finger at us, in you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. The root is Jesus Christ. Our life comes from that root. Then you will say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. Having a fear of the Lord, walking in that fear of the Lord. But if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then that the kindness and severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but kindness to you, hallelujah. Provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That might be soon. The fullness of the Gentiles. That might be soon. I'm going to stop right there. We'll come back to this. Last weekend, I had not considered this. I'm just going to make this comment. I had not considered this. Right now, Israel is in the process of trying to raise funds to build the third temple. Right now, could it possibly be that God has used President Trump? Did you know that in May of 2018 was 70 years since Israel was established as a nation? 70 years. Could it be that President Trump has been raised up to allow all these peace treaties so that the Muslim nations will allow Israel to build that temple on the Temple Mount? I don't know. But you know what? If that's to take place, our redemption is soon. The return of Jesus Christ is soon. And that ought to excite you. So let's come back to the scriptures here. This week, I guess stay focused. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob, and this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. The KJV says, without repentance. For just as you were, just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Do you see how big God's heart is here? How much love he has and how much merciful he is. He will never run out of mercy. Never. It's who he is. When it says the scripture that God is love, it is who he is. And he loved us so much that he was willing to graft us into the natural olive tree. He loved us so much that he was willing to send his son to die for us. Now, Paul says that he may have mercy on all. I see him getting excited here. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And how inscrutable his ways. Exclamation. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? That ought to put us right in our place. That we're the created one, and he's the creator. God has yet one time to come and ask my opinion for something. When my leg was broken, he didn't come to me and say, John, do you mind if I break your leg? Or do you mind if I allow your leg to be broken? I know I would have said, I'll pass on that one, Lord. But you know, as I entered into that suffering in my life, I saw the Lord in a whole new different way. Whole new different way. And God showed himself strong and revealed himself to be loving and kind. And I had a deeper love for the scriptures. Psalm 119 verse 72 says, it is good that I have been afflicted that I might know your statutes. The things we go through are for the purpose of God, and the purposes of God cannot be thwarted. So you see, Paul saying, who is known to the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given him a gift to him, the God, that he should be repaid? And then this wonderful, wonderful keystone verse that sets, I believe, sets right where it needs to be in Romans. And I didn't realize this till about 8 or 9 years when Ken was speaking on the keystone verse, this being it. Because I would look at verse and in Romans, and I'd look at part of it, and I'd come to this, and I'd scratch my head, because then all of a sudden it changes into Romans 12. We're going to talk about that next week. But it turns, and this keystone verse all doctrine, all rich truths of the scriptures, all things that have actually taken place and is important and critical for us to embrace and support, then all of a sudden it turns and says, okay, here's your responsibilities. But one of the first things that Paul says is he then focuses on you as an individual to present your body a living sacrifice, and then he presents the whole area of spiritual gifts. I think spiritual gifts are important. I really do. The more that I can understand of who I am in Christ and what God has done for me and given me gifts, then I know how I can walk and bring glory to Him and glorify Him. And he says, verse 36, the keystone verse, which is wonderful. This is meant more to me and meaning more to me because it's all this. It says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Everything I have in my life has come from God. I was created by him. I am created in his image, and so are you. I have been given gifts. It has come from him. He's given me talents. He's given me abilities. He's given me people that I can learn those talents and learn those abilities. But he's given me gifts. The greatest gift that he's given every one of us is his son, Jesus Christ. As many as received him, what are you receiving? You're receiving a gift from God that you yourself couldn't provide. Because I told you we'd read it, we're going to read it. Verse 1 of chapter 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect graces of perfect, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For by grace, verse 3, for by grace it is given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. That one verse is a verse that the Holy Spirit has burned on my soul. For I say through the grace given unto me to every one of them, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. I am guilty of thinking very highly of myself. You've seen that occasionally in a message. You've seen that in the last message. And why? Because I foolishly can believe that some of the things that I enter into is things that I've done myself and had no help from God. You see, in a matter of moments, all of a sudden I take the Lord Jesus off the throne and put myself on the throne. And I'm sure none of you have a problem with that. Just me. But it takes us to confess our sin before the Lord and ask Jesus to get back on the throne. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members, and members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individual members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes or gives in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Next week's message will be there. Turn on over to Romans chapter 5. As you're turning there, In the verse that I just read, verse 6 of chapter 12, it says, having then gifts. Those words, that Greek word right there, gifts, having then gifts, is called charisma in the Greek. And so my generation, as I got saved, there were people who were labeled a lot of different things, okay? And I really don't know if people are still labeled things. You know, you have your Baptists and you have your Catholics and you have your Presbyterians and you have all these things. But then there was this group of people that was called Charismatics. And it's interesting because when you look at the 60s and you look at the 70s and you look at the 80s and you see the Jesus movement and you see individuals who got saved, gloriously saved, and their lives are changed, and you saw all kinds of people going a whole bunch of different ways. And when I got saved in 1978, then I began to encounter different things about church and began to look into the scriptures and see things. And then it's like 3 or 4 years and God began to change my own heart in the way that I thought about church and the broadness of the church of God and those who are saved and those who God has saved. And rather than this narrow way of thinking, God has changed me. I know that God is, he can save anyone he wants to save. He doesn't need my permission. And he can save them any way that he wants to save them. Every one of us in here are not saved the same way. And what I mean by that, the environment, the time, the date, the historical, the type of person, the scripture, the radio, singing, no singing. We're all saved the same way by God bringing forth conviction, by him allowing us to see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and that we need a Savior. We're all saved that same way. But how he does that, it's all different. And so going back to this word, the gifts, this charisma, God has given you charisma. You think, I'm not so sure I like that word. If you're a born-again believer, you have been given that. Now, this message comes from that word, gifts. So as you're in Romans chapter 5, this is where God took me. And with him taking me here, brought me under conviction that I was, in some sense, willing to neglect the greatest gift God has given us. In doing that, I asked the Lord to forgive me because I don't want to minimize the gift that God's given us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 6 of chapter 5. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's us. We were there. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been saved from the wrath of God. Jesus took the wrath upon himself as he hung there on the cross for me, for you, every one of us. We should have been there, but Jesus took that upon himself for us. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. If for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one that was to come. But the free gift, charisma, is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift, chrisma, by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift, chrisma, is not the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Justification, as we embrace the Lord Jesus, is just if I had never sinned. And God looks at us and sees his Son, the blood applied to our lives by faith, and God sees as if we had not sinned. Because the one who never did sin and there was no sin in us, he became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God, that we might by faith have justification given to us freely by his grace. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, hallelujah, Jesus Christ the righteous, one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass. But where sin increased fast, grace, KJV says, grace does much more abound in our lives. Hallelujah. The grace that was poured onto us at Calvary, when sin is there, grace is much more. So we have the opportunity. God just doesn't leave us to sin. He provides the way out by giving us grace, and that desires within us the Holy Spirit to say no to sin. Because we struggle right now as we have the old nature and we have the new nature. The new nature is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living in us. The old nature is this carcass. The challenges that we face. And so when temptation comes, God wants us to say no and look to him that he's provided a way for us to be able, a way of an escape. And that's grace. That's the Holy Spirit, God himself living in us. Now the law came, I read this already, now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So where does this lead us? It's my desire this morning that, yes, as we can look at spiritual gifts, I want us to broaden our thought, our mind to more than just the gifts that we see, but looking at the greatest gift that's ever been given to every one of us, and that's the Lord Jesus. And you can say, is it just Jesus? It is just Jesus. God has provided for us a way of salvation, a way of an escape, a way to be able to be saved from eternal damnation, the wrath of God, being separated for all eternity through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That if we just receive him by faith, know that he died for my sins, and trust him as your Savior, we have eternal life. That is the greatest gift we could ever have and recognize. And that is the type of gift, that is the gift that we need to be sharing with everyone. As Ken shared last week about evangelism, over the last two messages that Ken shared, that is the greatest gift we can ever share. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we consider gifts and what they are, eternal life, a gift, being able to be with God for all eternity, hopefully get to be with family members and loved ones for all eternity, being able to see the Lord Jesus in all his beauty and splendor for all eternity, being able to bow before him and say, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. And we need to do that in this life. But then let me broaden this whole thing in gifts. And we're going to talk more on gifts next week. I told Jason Moen this morning, I said, I'm just so grateful for you. You are a gift to me. These children are a gift from the Lord to you, mom and dads. I want to encourage you to view them as that. Our friendship with each other is a gift from the Lord. I don't deserve you, and you don't deserve me. The relationship between a husband and wife, my wife is a gift from the Lord to me. My kids are a gift from the Lord to me. And I am guilty. I am guilty of taking for granted the gifts that God has given me and not truly seeing them for what he wants me to see them as. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus as precious to you as he was the first time you trusted him as your Savior? Those of you who are at home, I ask you the same thing. But those of you who are watching who maybe don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and maybe you need to have more of a conversation, please feel free to contact one of the elders here at the church. We'd love to talk to you. But please know that this free gift of Jesus Christ has been provided for you and for everyone that we might receive. That we might receive. And so if you're here this morning or even at home and God might say to you, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love, please humble yourself before the Lord and repent and ask him to bring you right back to that point of loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful for you having preserved the words of Paul for us to be able to read and meditate and ponder and consider. And then, Lord, stir in us to consider the importance of gifts and not forsaking the greatest gift, not wanting to acknowledge the greatest gift even to others, Lord. And I pray that you give us a boldness, a courage to communicate that gift to others. And Lord, remind us of just your heart for all people. Your desire is that all men, all women would come to repentance and be saved. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your grace to save each one of us. Thank you for saving me. And I give you honor and glory. For you are worthy. Lord Jesus, you are so worthy. Worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we pray in your name. Amen.